My dear friends, this particular gospel is mentioned in the book on the adoration of the Blessed Sacrament by Jesus to the priest. And he talks about the Annunciation, and that's what we just read, the story of the Annunciation of the angel Gabriel coming to Mary, asking her to be the mother of God. And he said that this particular mystery shall redound throughout all eternity for its greatness, because when you think about it, we have the Son of God being born a man, born of a virgin. My dear friends, we'll be praising that for all eternity, that particular mystery, among the other mysteries too, of course, but that one in particular we should be praising continually. And we should have great joy when we pray the Holy Rosary, the first joyful mystery. This is why we need to pray the rosary, my friends. It's not a prayer of repetition. It's not boring, as some people say, and so on. It's what you make it. It's what you make it. If you were a great musician and you were listening to a great symphony, you would get a lot more out of it than somebody like me who goes and I don't know what's going on in some music. But the great people who study these things and know these things know about the greatness. And so we, if we're truly devoted to Our Lady and to Jesus, we marvel at this great mystery of the Annunciation. And we can't say it enough to praise and glorify God. And that's what we're doing here in this particular feast day, the Feast of Our Lady, and especially in particular, these particular readings. Very, very, very special. I once heard a Protestant say, "Where is the Blessed Mother in the Scriptures? Where is she? Where is she?" They, as you know, these Protestants and many others believe in sola scriptura, only the Scripture. If it's not in the Bible, they don't want to hear about it. Well, my dear friends, as I just mentioned about people who know, are in the know, when you know the Bible, you know that Our Lady is there. We just read two beautiful passages, the epistle from Ecclesiasticus and the gospel from Luke, and both are filled with glorious things about the Virgin Mary. So, Blessed John Henry Newman, all right, great Englishman of the 19th century, said, the Blessed, a former Protestant, by the way, said that the Blessed Mother is on every page of Scripture. Every page. It's for us to find it. All right? And just to tell you the greatness of the Blessed Mother, I just want to remind you about the message of Fatima. I don't want to forget this point. I didn't think if I was going to use this, but it popped into my head while I was doing the readings. I had just read a very interesting article in Christian Order, October 2018. Okay? And it's called Fatima 101. Why is it called Fatima 101? Well, anybody who's taken a college course know that the basic course is 101. English 101, Math 101, Science 101, or whatever. So now we have Fatima 101, basic. The basic aspects of Fatima. God sent his mother. We have to realize what an important thing that is. The Blessed Mother just didn't say one day, I'm going to go down to earth and say hello. No, it's planned from all eternity, part of her work as co-redemptrix, that she was going to help the redemption of the world. So our Blessed Mother was sent by God at the critical time in our world. So important, all right? She had been sent in the 19th century too, of course, to Rue de Bac with the miraculous medal, and to Lourdes and La Salette and so many others. But this is a big one, Fatima 101. And interestingly, I had never seen it in all the readings I have done on Fatima, and I've been reading about Fatima for years, various books and everything. I'm not a scholar on it, but I've done a lot of reading it. But I've never thought of what this particular author said in Christian Order. Now think about it. What is the significance of the rain and the spinning of the earth at the during the miracle of the sun? What is the apocalyptical meaning of those particular things? Well, first of all, you know it had rained for days, 3 or 4 days. The place was soaked with water. The people were soaked, all mud and everything, and it was a theme and variation of it, as it were, on the deluge. The deluge where it rained by 40 days and 40 nights. So now we have Fatima 101, and we have the rain. The rain is significance of a former chastisement by God, 40 days and 40 nights when the world was destroyed and only Noah and those in the ark were saved. Very important. Very important for its apocalyptical meaning in the great chastisement to come. And the spinning of the sun. The spinning of the sun, we know that 75,000 people were there. And of course, they were so distressed, they couldn't believe it. The sun was spinning around and hurtling towards earth. They thought it was the end of the world. They were screaming out prayers, God, save me, help me. And if we were there, we would have been petrified. It was an unbelievable miracle. And by way of parenthesis, it would have even have been better, Our Lady told the children, if the Masonic mayor had not put the kids in jail for a few days. So it was scaled down. As it was as big as anything I think people had ever seen on earth. And that was a commentary on Sodom and Gomorrah. Think about it. Fire rained from heaven on Sodom and Gomorrah and all the various places in the nearby area. The whole place was on fire, right? And that's what's going to happen, and like Akita says, if men don't repent, fire will fall from heaven. Fire will fall from heaven, and 2/3 of the world will be destroyed. So there you have it, that Fatima 101. The two aspects of the miracle of the sun on October 13th, 1917. First, the rain signifying the deluge, and second, the hurtling of the sun towards the earth, and that is reminiscent of the fire that fell on Sodom and Gomorrah. And as you know, Sodom and Gomorrah were noted, of course, for their sins of the unnatural sex. Fire from heaven fell down, and only Lot and his wife were saved. Interesting, too, we all know what happened to Lot's wife. She was told not to look back. One of the things commentaries say is when you see the punishments that God inflicts on the world, you are not to look, right? Just turn your back, as it were, and let the punishments see. And if you don't, you'll be like Lot's wife, as it were, turned into a pillar of salt. When the 3 days of darkness comes, we're not supposed to look out the windows to see what is going on with the devils coming out of hell, claiming all the souls who have the mark of the beast on them. So the commentators say. So that's going to happen shortly, in my opinion. I think it's going to happen soon. How much more can we go on, my dear friends? So Our Lady is so important in our world. And just quickly, I've already spent too much time on it. I didn't want to talk about all this, but I did want to talk about certainly Our Lady on every scripture, every passage. And Our Lady tells us, I took root in the honorable people. And she says, I was exalted like a cedar in Lebanon. Did you ever see a cedar in Lebanon? I never did. But one thing I experienced cedar wood when I was a little boy. I couldn't get over it. I was mesmerized by it. We had a cedar closet in the basement. It was built with cedar wood. And I used to love to go into the cedar closet and smell the wood. We would store our winter clothes there in the summertime, and so on. And even years and years and years later, the cedar wood would still be emitting an odor that was so refreshing. So I was exalted like a cedar in Lebanon. I was exalted like a palm tree in Kadesh, as a rose plant in Jericho, as a fair olive tree in the plains, and a plane tree by the water in the streets. I was exalted. St. Alphonsus talks about a fair olive tree in the plains. Why in the plains? All right, imagine you see the plain, the flat piece of land. There's only one tree standing. It's a fair olive tree that all can look on it. It's the olive tree of mercy. As you know, olive oil is one of the great products of our world. We don't have it here in this country, but if you're in the Near East, in that area, in Italy and so on, olive trees are very, very special. We enjoy olive oil, we enjoy olives, and so on. So we take a look at the olive of mercy is Our Lady. She is like a fair olive tree in the plains that all can look upon and gain mercy. A fair olive tree, beautiful to behold, tall and big. I shouldn't say tall, but certainly wide, and certainly filled with gently beautiful fruit of the olive. I gave a sweet smell like cinnamon, an aromatical balm. I yielded a sweet odor like the best myrrh. Oh, my friends, all these wonderful natural things that God has given our world all bespeak of Our Lady. Now we have our gospel and we have the angels say, "Hail, full of grace, full of grace." If somebody is full of grace, my friends, there's no place for anything else. Full of grace because she's immaculate. This is, in a way, a proof of the Immaculate Conception, because when the angel came, she was filled with grace. And he said, "Blessed art thou among women. The Lord is with thee." So if the Lord is with thee now, that means the Lord is with her. She must be in grace and filled with grace. And also an indication again, if the Lord is with thee, another example of the Immaculate Conception, how she is the Immaculate without sin. Then we go to Genesis 3:15, again, proving again Our Lady is on every page. From the very dawn of civilization, as soon as Eve and Adam had committed their sin, God came down and said to Satan, "I will put enmities between thee and the woman, between your seed and her seed. She shall crush thy head, and thou shalt lie in wait for her heel." Again, Our Lady. She, all right? A woman without benefit of a man, all right? She and her seed, again, that talks about Our Lady's virginity, her perpetual virginity, because she didn't know how that when the angel came to her, that she would be able to, this is not in our scripture today, it's the next passage in the gospel that I read, but the Holy Spirit shall overshadow thee, and the Holy One shall be called the Son of God. Maybe it is, I forget, but it's there. So we see our perpetual virginity of Our Lady, the woman and her seed. And the woman is immaculate, because if she were not immaculate, the devil would have been able to attack her and destroy her. Even for a moment, she never had the least bit of sin, because if she even had a little sin, original sin or actual sin, she would have been attacked by the devil and destroyed, because the devil knew what this woman was going to be like, right? This was the woman who's going to be the mother of the Messiah, all right? That was part of the test of the devils in heaven. Would they adore God when he became a man? And would they adore and praise his mother, who would be the queen of angels? And they said, "No, I will not serve." So this is the woman that will crush his head. And again, that's part of what we have for the Immaculate Conception. the bull from the Pope, how Our Lady would be the woman who would have no sin because she was going to crush the head of Satan. Now, just a quick few more passages to show you again how Our Lady is on every page. By the way, that Genesis 3:15 is called the Proto-Evangelium. Proto-first, Evangelium Gospel. It's the first gospel, right? We have the gospel today, and we have the gospel of Jesus Christ and the gospel of John and so on. But this is the first gospel because it's God's gospel, the good news that the Messiah will come and he'll be born of a woman. And the woman and her seed, meaning the Messiah, the woman and her seed will crush the head of Satan. Right? Also proving again that Our Lady's a virgin. St. Paul tells us, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent his son, born of a woman, made under the law, born of a woman. That's very unusual for the Jews. They don't say, you don't talk about the woman when you talk about people being born. It's always somebody begot somebody, somebody begot somebody, somebody begot. It's always the man who begets. But here, a perfect example of St. Paul knowing what's going on. He tells us she's born of a woman, telling us again that she's a perpetual virgin. We also know from Isaiah that this woman was going to be very special. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah 7:14. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. How can a woman conceive and bear a son and still be called a virgin? Well, Emmanuel, because this is what God wants. He wants his son to be born of a virgin because the Blessed Mother is so very, very special. Out of all the women in the world, all the mothers, there's no mother who is a virgin because it's impossible. Contradiction in terms, but not Our Lady, because she was not conceived by man. She was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how special Our Lady is, okay? Canticle 4:7. Thou art all fair, O my love, and there is not a spot in thee. Thou art all fair, like that fair olive tree. Thou art all fair, O my love, and there is not a spot in thee. Proverbs 8:22. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his ways, before he made anything from the beginning. Our Lady was already in the mind of God from the beginning. The Lord possessed me from the beginning of his ways before he made anything. Of course, we've already seen, Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed are you among women. The Lord is with thee. How Our Lady has the Lord always present with her. So, my dear friends, just one little last point of Pope Pius IX in the Bull for the Immaculate Conception. He talks about Our Lady's participation in the divine life exceeds that of all angels and saints together. What does that mean? That means that Our Lady is filled with grace, and she is in the divine life more than all the angels and saints put together. I mean, that's just mind-boggling. How can one person be more closely united to God than all other human beings and angels together? That shows you how very special she is. So we can never exaggerate the Blessed Mother. We can never give her more than what God has already given her because she is so special. This is why we got to pray and ask Our Lady to take over our lives, as St. Maximilian teaches. The Immaculate penetrates the soul, memory, understanding, and will, and directs its faculties, memory, understanding, and will, with her unlimited power. Unlimited, not infinite, because that's only with God. But God has given her unlimited power, and she penetrates our soul. And this is why we need to make Our Lady the center of our spiritual life. This is what St. Louis de Montfort talks about. To Jesus through Mary. First we go to Mary and she takes over our life and perfects it and prepares us for Jesus. And ask her to take over our life, our soul, as it were, our memory, our understanding, intellect, and our will. Make us strong in our will, fortitude, understanding, so we know things and we appreciate things. And we pray for a greater understanding of our spiritual life, which Our Lady will give to us with the seven gifts. We saw that last week. All right, the root of Jesse, the branch with the flower, all right? And the branch, of course, is Our Lady. The flower is Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit rests on the flower. The Holy Spirit of Jesus, with his seven gifts. Those seven gifts, which are so important, all right? Make sure you study them a little. Know what they all are. The seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. Because we want Our Lady to fill us with these gifts. And of course, the 12 fruits, which you'll read about in the bulletin this week, the 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit that come with grace, peace and joy and patience and kindness and gentleness. My dear friends, if you want to grow in the spiritual life, it is an absolute necessity that you go to Mary. It's an absolute, absolute, absolute necessity you pray the rosary. Not just one rosary a day, morning, noon, and night. At least three rosaries a day. Don't say, I don't have time. Right? You have time for everything else. I always told people, I always have time for the things I like. I make time for the things I like. All right? So you can make certainly morning, noon, and night, make time for Our Lady. And ask her to help us. Why do I say these things? Why am I talking so long? I'm sorry I am talking so long today, but all right, because my dear friends, we are now in the greatest crisis the world has ever seen in the Catholic Church. This is what many, many commentators say. Who knows where it's going to end? Very shortly, that's why I say we don't know what the chastisement, when it's coming. It's not coming tomorrow or the next day. I've been saying this for 40 years, my friends, by the way. I may not see it myself. All right? My time is going fast. But I think it's coming, and we got to do something. The way the things are going on in Rome and the Vatican and the world, who knows what's going to happen. All right? Our Lady came 100 years ago. To tell us about this, right? 100 years ago. So this is why we need to wake up and tell everybody to wake up, all right? Because the world is just out of control. They don't have a clue to what's going on, what's really going on, and what's going to happen to them in this life, but especially what will happen to them in the next life when they get judged if they haven't done anything worthwhile in this life. Right? We've got to be ready, because when the Lord comes, we're going to have to render an account for all our things. And don't let them tell you that after death, there's only nothing. My dear friends, that's absolutely absurd. Absurd. Right? Unreasonable, absurd, and foolish. Even the scripture says, only the fool says in his heart, there is no God. So we have to wake up all of our loved ones. Right? Go out to them, all right, and try to evangelize. Bring Our Lady with you. Help her. Ask her to help you to say the right things to these people so that they can be get ready for whatever's going to happen to them shortly, very shortly, more than likely in your lifetime, more than likely in my lifetime. And I have only a few more years to go. I'm getting up there. So let us pray and thank Our Lady. Thank God for sending us Our Lady, right? The wonderful, fair, all fair art thou, O Mary. May the Lord bless you.